Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you. I will pray to you.
I will pray to you
in my secret place.
In my secret
place. For you are my everything.
For you are my everything.
Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to begin to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer for worship. A praise of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. Before all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you. For you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. Surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to, Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Even when I don't know where my next meal is coming from, somehow, some way you make a way. You're my life. You're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me. And I gotta testify that you are. Pride of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. Just like you come to see.
life, strength, joy, peace, hope. Lord, you are our everything. It's our anniversary, and we have celebrated the whole month of April. Happy anniversary, Runner for Christ Ministries, Pastor O, Lady Sheila, Baby Holy Ghost, and the Runner for Christ Ministries family for 20 beautiful years serving the Lord. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. And we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And, you know, it's Youth Sunday, and on the 4th and or 5th Saturday and Sunday, we invite our youth and give them the opportunity to participate and serve in our morning worship service. And we have this morning to do our proclamation, scripture, and prayer is our very own young adult, because she turned 18, and she's a Cass Technical High School senior planning to attend Wayne State University to study medicine. Isn't that beautiful? And it's our very own Nedra Gaston. Good morning, and thanks for being with us, Ms. Nedra.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here.
A pleasure.
And now, why we're here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King, pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Here's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is fulfilling his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, our future Dr. Nedra Gaston. We are so proud of you. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
To the one who sits on the throne. Thank you. call you Adonai. You are our Lord. Hallelujah. Brosso manga. At the mention of your name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that you are Lord. Can you help us say that? 'Cause at the mention
of
at the mention of your name,
yeah, every knee,
every knee,
every
yeah,
you are Lord.
Mm-hmm. Sickness has to bow, and at the mention of your name, every knee,
every
tongue
confess, you are Lord.
Yes, you are. Just that easy. Jesus, you are Lord.
Jesus, you are.
Yes, you are.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
your sound is so sweet.
Jesus,
you are Lord.
Oh,
yes, you are.
Oh,
yeah. At the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are Lord. So at the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are Lord.
The first name that you call on, Can we just call on his name together? We say Jesus.
Jesus.
Go and invite him in.
Jesus.
He'll meet you at your need.
Jesus.
He's Lord over sickness.
Jesus.
Sickness has to bow.
Jesus.
Poverty is defeated.
Jesus.
'Cause at the mention of his name.
In Jesus' name, it's all in your name. In Jesus, you are Lord. Pastor Minister Richards said it yesterday about you being a blessed DJ over there. Pastor, awesome. You always take us there, and we just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is our very own young adult, that King Amir Jones. Offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own King Amir Jones. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name so precious. There is no other name I know. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name.
Power be to you, the God of the universe. You are the one who sent his only Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. How glad we are that you sent Jesus to save us. How glad we are that you knew each of us before we were even born. How glad we are that you know way more than we do, that you do not make mistakes, so we know that you handpicked the families that we would be born into. Even though sometimes we daydream that you should have put us into a richer family or someplace in a faraway city, we know you do not make mistakes, but we make mistakes. Sometimes it's just because we are not thinking, and at other times we intentionally do something wrong. But we ask now for your forgiveness for the sins we have committed and will commit into the future. We are so grateful that your word is true in 1 John 1:9. That is where you say, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and forgive us and cleanse us. What an awesome God we serve in you. You love us so much that you made a way for us to have a relationship with you through Christ Jesus. And if that wasn't enough, you have given us the Holy Spirit as a guide and counselor to show us the way. That's what we ask for this morning, Lord God, for you to show us the way. We are young. We are learning. We know we do not have all the answers, but you do. Just like David may not have had all the answers about what to do when the giant Goliath was bullying everybody. He did know that something needed to be done. In your name and to your glory, he was able to come up with a plan. And just like David was able to take down a giant, we know that through your power, we can take down what might seem like a giant in our lives. In fact, when Jesus was on earth, he said in John 14:12 that as believers in him, we would do great works. Now then, as believers and followers of Jesus, this is what we ask, that you will guide us through the Holy Spirit into all truth. In this way, no one will ever be able to trick us into foolishness, like taking a drug or holding a gun or lying against someone. We also ask that by way of the Holy Spirit, you will give us power to do good works according to your will. Lord, our lives are precious. You made us for a reason, so we do not want to be lazy and attentive. We want to be about your business. If we need to speak about a dark secret that a bad person told us to not talk about, we ask for your help. By the power of the Holy Spirit, give us the courage to speak up. Lead us to an adult who will listen and who will act. We may not know how to judge these things, but we know you can. Thank you for everything you have done and will continue to do. You love us and we love you right back. You said the way to show you that we love you is by being obedient. So we will do what you say to do. And we commit to reading the scriptures so we know what it is you want us to do. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Power in prayer. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, King Demir Jones. That's an upstanding young man for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day. Okay? I am truly enjoying the service today, and I hope you are too. With more to come, first, I want to just thank our young adults for serving this morning, Queen Nedra Gaston, soon to be Dr. Nedra, and King Amir Jones, upstanding young man, just upstanding young people that served this whole weekend. And we just thank you, thank you. We are so proud of our young people. And just please continue to keep them lifted up in prayer and just show our youth and young people some love, some mad love, in Jesus' name, okay? And then I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. And continue to bless the Run for Christ Ministries family for 20 years of serving the Lord. Happy anniversary, Run for Christ Ministries. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Okay, we're going to be all right. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own man of God, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. Let's prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate as he comes in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
To glow, I want to glow. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory and show me your power. Let me is what I need.
I want your glory.
Let them me.
Let them me. More of you is what I need.
rejecting the love in your warm embrace, but I realize I need you more and more each day.
I need you more.
Oh, I need you.
I want your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me
and more of your glory. Show me. Worshiper out there that'll join me, come on, let him know that you're hungry for him, that you're longing for him, that you're thirsty for him. Oh, I am. So lift your voice and say, I can't live without.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for a wonderful service. We thank you for the youth. Lord, we thank you for their families and for you encouraging them to be who you call them to be, who you designed them to be. We thank you, Lord, for this fellowship, for listeners all over the world. We thank you for just a brand new day. Pray right now, Lord, that you move me out of the way and allow me to be a vessel for your word so that it will be shared with this audience and that you will receive all the praise and the honor and the glory from us doing so. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters all around the world. My name is Jonathan Tate, and I'm one of the assistant pastors at Running for Christ Ministries. And the word that the Lord provided this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 3, and I will be reading from the New Living Translation, verses 24 through 36. On the book of John, chapter 3, reading at verse 24. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew of the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. To this, John replied, a man can receive only what is given from him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. The book of John was written by one of the sons of thunder, one of Jesus' disciples, the disciple John, in between about AD 85 and AD 90. And the purpose, literally, of the whole book of John is to present Jesus as the Son of God. So that's, you know, pretty much the background of John, that Jesus is the Son of God. So verse 24 reading says, this was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over a matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one who you testified about, well, he is baptizing. Everyone is going to him. Now, John's disciples were upset. They felt some kind of way. They were in their feelings about Jesus baptizing and people going over to him to be baptized and to follow Jesus more so than John at that point. And I like what John does is he shuts down the potential argument and he lets them know that, listen, this is who I testified about. This is who I knew this was going to happen. You notice in verse 24, it says this was before John was put in prison. John knew pretty much what he was headed into. He knew that his sole purpose was to prepare the way for Jesus. And he knew that ultimately, eventually, it would cost him his life. But he gave of himself. He carried out his mission. And, you know, sometimes people in churches, sometimes people in organizations, sometimes people in your job, they search for points of disagreement. They look for ways to, you know, divide and conquer or just simply cause division, you know, or be messy about certain things. And John let them know, you know, ultimately that when we look down at verse 27, that I knew that this is what's going to happen. I knew that folks had to follow Jesus, you know, but I like the fact, and as you read that, you know, John shut the argument down because, you know, I think about, you know, Running for Christ Ministries, when it first got started 20 years ago, you know, there were people that, you know, didn't like the fact that, you know, Pastor Overall you know, was told by the Lord that this was a ministry that he needed to get started. And, you know, it's amazing how people are so concerned with what the Lord told you and the assignment that the Lord gave you. Whatever the Lord provides for you, whatever the Lord instructs you to do is for you. If the Lord allows you to share with others, that's all well and fine. But if the Lord called you to do something, it's simply best to just execute it. And there were a lot of folks, there was a lot of opposition against Pastor O in the beginning when, you know, the Lord told him to start Running for Christ Ministries. And there's a reason why the ministry has lasted 20 years, because the Lord put his stamp on it. So even with John, he executed his mission, caught up in disagreements. He couldn't get caught up in things that would so easily beset him or, you know, any divisions. As a leader, he had to do what the Lord told him to do. And it wasn't easy. He was facing prison. He was ultimately facing execution, but he carried it out. And for us, even as God's children, when he gives you an assignment, when he gives you a calling or a ministry, whatever the case may be, it's simply best to execute it. You know, I've shared with, you know, friends and family over the years, there were so many times that I tried to get away from service. I tried to get away from the Department of Corrections. And the Lord plainly told me that, no, I'll have you right exactly where I need you to be. And over the years, he's proven that. And there were times where people would come with, you know, points of disagreement and division. And we have to work past that and look past that so that we can execute the mission. Because we're commanded to love one another, to serve. Amen. Amen. Verse 27 says, to this, John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him. A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. I tell my sons, and I've shared with other youths, and even, you know, adults over the years, that all of the greatness, all of the talent, all of the energy, strength, know-how, everything, all of that awesome stuff came to you in your mother's womb. God gave you everything you needed to be great before you were born. And it came strictly from the Lord, period. And that's what John is saying here. A man can only receive what is given him from heaven. So whatever authority you have, whatever greatness, whatever talents, who you are strictly comes from the Lord. And we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I think sometimes we look past that or we water that down. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are literally one of one in the universe. We have unlimited potential and worth, and we need to understand that. But what we are given comes strictly from heaven. And he goes on to say in verse 28, you yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him. John understood his mission. He knew that he was simply to make the way before the Lord. Literally to come before the Lord and prepare the way for the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Verse 29 says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. So if we understand the true reflection of marriage is the church and Christ. Christ is the bridegroom. He's the groom. the church, the body of believers, Christians, follow, which simply means followers of Christ, our job is to be the bride. Now, Jesus died and laid down his life for all of us. You know, he paid the dowry that we couldn't pay. He paid the ransom. The whole thing of marriage is to reflect our relationship with the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, as the bride, him being the bridegroom and us being the bride as the church. And he says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine. So he's reaffirming to, John is reaffirming to his own disciples that, listen, I'm not the Christ. I am not the Messiah, the anointed one that's supposed to come and be the Savior of the world. Jesus is. Jesus Christ is. I'm simply one of the best men, one of the friends of the bridegroom. And when I hear his voice, I'm full of joy. That joy is mine because Jesus at this point is beginning his public ministry. So John understood that, you know, he's joyful because he's done his job. He's prepared the way for Jesus' coming, and now Jesus is here, and he's working. He's performing his, he's beginning his public ministry. So now with that being said, John fall back and just, he's just joyful at this point because Jesus is here. And he has a sense of accomplishment at this point because he says, that joy is mine, and it is now complete. Verse 30 says, he must become greater, I must become less. You know, sometimes I've been around preachers and teachers and pastors and other Christians. I've been around leaders. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is to become less and to be happy for someone else's success. I'm a firm believer, and I share this with my friends and family, you know, all the time. Always cheer for folks. I always want all of my people to win. You know, if you can achieve a certain goal, you know, and shout out to, you know, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon for getting that master's degree this weekend. You know, I know what it takes to get that and to go through what you go through and have to work, and for her even to have a family, you know, and get that done. That's just the Lord's blessings, and we're so thankful for her. So I had to give a quick shout out to her. But, you know, I cheer for my folks to be successful and to win. You know, John is cheering at this point. You know, yes, he's, you know, accomplished his job, his assignment, and it's now complete because Jesus has begun his public ministry at this point. He's getting started by baptizing folks, and John feels that, you know, that sense of praise to him. And he understands that it's not about John himself, John the Baptist, receiving praise. It's not about, you know, him becoming greater. It's about Jesus becoming greater and him becoming less and less. You know, there are times when we don't cheer on folks because we feel like we're supposed to become more greater. We're supposed to, you know, not be the lesser of the two. And we need to understand that, you know, that is not what we need to be about. You know, there are people who are designed and ordained and selected for certain positions at certain times during certain seasons. And if we could just focus on our specific assignments and callings, we wouldn't be worried about what everybody else is doing. You know, I love that verse in the Bible where it talks about working with your own hands, leading a quiet life, and minding your own business. If you're going to be involved in someone else's business, first be invited, and two, cheer them on. Like, how can you be an asset to that person? You know, one thing about me, regardless of your title in the organizations that I work with, I'm going to cheer you on. I want you to do your best and to be your best, because that secretary may very well turn out to be the president of the company one day and be your boss. And it's not about, you know, sucking up to anyone. It's just genuinely being happy for folks who are being successful. So we see an example right here, because he says, he must become greater. Jesus must become greater. I must become less. Verse 31 says, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. So right here, John is thinking about Jesus. Jesus came from heaven. He literally was conceived by the Holy Spirit and placed into Mary's womb. And he was born not like any one of us, not of sin, and he came from heaven. And John is simply letting his disciples know he's above all. The one that is from the earth is from the earth and belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth, from heaven. Jesus taught of things from heaven because that's where he originated. That's where he was from. Not that Jesus had a birthday, because he's always existed. You know, Jesus agreed way before any of us were conceived the thought of that he would have to come down to save us. And this is the beginning of his public ministry. So John was just confirming with his disciples that, hey, he's above all. I'm in my lane and I have to stay in it. I'm from the earth. I speak from the earth. I'm of the earth. I'm not from heaven. So verse 32, he testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. It's amazing that, you know, and I could understand from a human standpoint, you know, living in those times, if you had someone that was raised in a neighborhood and was about 30 years old telling you about things that were foreign to you, about things from heaven, about a relationship with God that no one had experience like him. And then he's coming down to give his testimony of what he's seen and heard. I could understand from a human standpoint how people would struggle, because it says right here, but no one accepts his testimony. You know, but for us who have, you know, the technology and who have, you know, complete Bibles, you know, 66 books that, you know, point to Jesus. For all of us who have that, we should easily be able to accept his testimony. We should easily be able to find out why it's so easy to follow the Lord and to know that what his word says is true. But in order for that to happen, I do understand that you have to have a relationship with the Lord, because one thing I will tell you from personal experience, the more you learn about the Lord, the more you read about the Lord, the more you walk with the Lord, the more he reveals to you. And I'm so appreciative of my relationship. I've been saved since October 31st. of 1987, since I was 10 years old, and I've learned so much, and I'm thankful. But even back then, with Jesus walking and talking on the earth, they didn't accept his testimony. But in verse 33, it says, the man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. So for us, and even John himself, who have accepted Jesus' testimony, we understand that God is truthful. We certify it. We can put our stamp on it. You know, if you just think back over your life, no matter how old you are, and you look at how you made it through tough times, how you made it through good times, how you just simply made it from yesterday to until today, you only made it because God allowed you to. No matter what you believe or what you think, what everything that's spoken about the Lord in this word is true. You know, one time my son Brayla was having trouble believing that God really existed. So we stepped outside and I said, son, look around you. What do you see? And he said, you know, trees. He said, you know, squirrels, birds, you know, the wind. And I said, that's God's very evidence that he exists. Trees would not be alive without him. These animals wouldn't be alive without him. And I said, son, even your next breath comes from God, whether we believe it or not. God has proven himself to be true. God has proven we have evidence of his existence, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. So we need to understand that it's our job as his children, those who have a relationship with him, those Christians, those followers of Christ, that we let folks know that this word says about God is true. And not only that, when you've made it through those difficult and those good times, when you made it from last night through deep sleep to being wide awake and being aware of your surroundings, that was all God. It wasn't your alarm clock. It wasn't the birds singing or Alexa that woke you up. Amen? Amen. Verse 34 says, whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. Again, John is pointing to Jesus because Jesus spoke the words of God his Father. And then it says, God gives the Spirit without limit. So the Holy Spirit is how God's very presence inside of us. That's how we get over. That's how we have power, because we literally have God's presence within us. And Jesus displayed God's presence because he's a part of the Holy Trinity. So the things that he was able to say and do, he had the power and authority to do so because Jesus himself is God. Remember, the purpose of the book of John is to present that Jesus, actual Son of God. And the man who has accepted it and is certified that God is truthful, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. And it's just that simple. I try my best whenever I speak to people about the Lord or teach or preach or whatever the case may be, I just try to stick to the word. The only personal things that I share are things where I try to give God the glory about how I got over or how I made it through. You know, because we all have good times. We all have difficult times. I'm truly thankful for who the Lord has placed around me, you know, over the years, my village, whether we just met or whether you know me my whole life. I'm truly thankful because I can point to different people and point out things that I've learned and things where God has worked through them toward me, and I appreciate that. And that's one of the reasons why it makes it easy for me to cheer on my brothers and sisters all around the world that I know, and even folks that I don't know that I pray for and think about. Amen. Because I know that what the Lord, the words of God for God, who gives the Spirit without limit. And I understand that. Verse 35 says, the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Remember, through Jesus, we were all created and everything was created. Period. So it's amazing to me how we won't accept our origin. We won't accept testimony from who and where we've come from, you know. And it's okay to do your research. It's okay to question things. It's okay to dig to the bottom of something so that you can understand the context. I always tell people I'm a nerd. Like, I look things up on a regular basis. There are words that I don't know the meaning of, but I take the time to find out. We need to understand that the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands, including our lives, our past, our present, our future, everything. We were literally created through Jesus because he created everything. So John is letting his disciples know that no matter what you think about me, everything from God has been placed in Jesus' hands. He handed it over to his Son to take care of everything. Because if you think about it, that's how we have a relationship with God the Father. That's why we have the Holy Spirit within us. It's all through Jesus. Amen? Verse 36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on him. Simply put, whoever believes in the Son, and that's a capital S, Son of God, Jesus, has eternal life. That's how we have a relationship. You have to first believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for all of your sins, past, present, and future. Jesus did all the heavy lifting. He accomplished that whole thing so that we could spend eternity with him. I punched my ticket on Halloween of 1987. Most of the world does not profess, and it's, I think it's just short, maybe about 8 billion people on the planet. And I think only about maybe 2.6, 2.7 billion have professed to know Jesus, to have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. And I don't know about you, whether you're a mathematician or not, but that's a small percentage, 2.7 billion compared to 8 billion. There's a lot of people who don't know Jesus. And then they get the second part of this verse, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on him, which simply means that they have an eternal death, which is hell. And I need people to understand, because we need to understand one thing. Hell was created for Satan and those demons. That was the whole intent with hell, was the punishment for the rebellion that took place in heaven. When Satan was Lucifer and those demons were angels. However, because Jesus came, because he lived, he died, and he rose from the grave, we all have an opportunity to spend eternal life with him. But it's real clear here. It says, whoever rejects the Son will not see life. But God's wrath remains on him. People talk about, you know, homosexuality. People talk about, you know, pedophiles and domestic violence and different sins. The reality is the one unforgivable sin is for those who reject the Son of God. Those who are not saved, those who don't believe that he died on the cross and rose from the grave for all of our sins, and that he's seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Because it continues on, like it's unconditional love that the Lord operates in. Honestly, I don't want to see anyone on their way to hell. I will be the first to tell you I am not perfect. I wake up sinning, go to sleep sinning, sometimes be in my dreams all the way left. I do have enough sense to, you know, go to the Lord and confess and ask for forgiveness of all my sins, because I know only he can cleanse me from my unrighteousness. I understand that, but because of my relationship with him, because I got saved when I was 10, that's why I can come and be guilt-free from sin. So if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay for all of your sins, that's the first part. That's really the main part, is that you believe that. Because Jesus walked the earth. We have historical records that Jesus actually walked the earth. And he did what he did. People witnessed it. They witnessed the empty tomb. They witnessed a resurrected body. He did come. He lived and he died and he rose from the dead to pay for all of our sins, because only he could do it. But if you believe that, now, all you have to do is repeat after me and just invite the Lord in and say, Lord Jesus, I am an admitted sinner. I believe in my heart that you lived, you died, and you rose from the dead to pay for all of my sins, past, present, and future. I invite you to come into my heart and life so that I can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believe and you prayed that prayer, you're saved. You've accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, and you will spend eternity with him. You haven't rejected him, so you won't be subject to God's wrath, but you will be subject to God's unconditional love. And one thing that I've realized is that the guilt of sin is heavy, but we don't have to walk around as slaves to sin. We don't have to walk around with the guilt of it. We're not perfect. We have this fleshly body. We were conceived in sin. We weren't like Jesus as far as how we were born. But we need to understand that falling in love with Jesus is so true and is so real, because he's been in love with you. He thought about you before you were even conceived, because spiritually we always existed. So he knew us before we were born. The Bible tells us so. Before we were formed in our mother's wombs, the Lord says, I knew you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this word today. We thank you for 20 years of Running for Christ Ministries, a ministry, Lord, of teaching, learning, and doing. We pray, Lord, that each and every one that listened in and participated today will be blessed, and that they're saved, and that we will be inspired and encouraged to go out and tell someone about Jesus, what you've done for us, Lord, what you do, and what you will do. We thank you for this awesome day today and for this message that you blessed all of us with. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What an awesome word. I am not going to touch that. I'm going to leave that right where you left it, on the table. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Johnson, for the word that you brought to us today. We are truly blessed, and we are grateful for the time and the obedience and the study, because we know it's not easy, and we know you got 50 jobs and to add that one to the plate too, and then to just deliver a word so eloquently, which is what we needed to hear. We're very grateful, and so we say thank you. Amen. So happy Sunday, y'all. It's the last Sunday of the month of April. It is April 30th already. The time is just moving on. And so I would like to say, for the last time on Blog Talk for this month, happy anniversary, amen, to Running for Christ Ministries, 20 years of service in the Lord. How awesome. We are small, but we are mighty, and we just thank God that Pastor O and Sister Sheila answered the call of the Lord and didn't send Jesus to voicemail. Amen. We know that it is not easy. When Pastor Johnson talked about it, when, you know, the Lord came to Pastor O and saying, hey, we need to start a church with Pastor O, like, I don't know, you know, but he listened and he was obedient. 20 years later, here we are. So God has been faithful to us, and we are so grateful, and we just thank him for all that he has done through us at Run for Christ Ministries and all that he will do for us, with us, to us, and through us. Amen? Amen. So just by way of a couple of announcements, I want to start off by saying the entire month of May at Run for Christ Ministries will be devoted to our women and our women preachers. Amen. Men, of course, we're not kicking y'all to the curb. 100%, you are invited and more than welcome to attend, as you should, because it's still church. Amen. So this first Sunday in May coming up, we will have Lauren Horton come and bring us a word. She's a wonderful young lady. She brought us a word last year, and she was very powerful. Amen. So please come out. Again, every Sunday in the month of May, we're going to be devoting our time to women and women preachers. And the first Sunday, Lauren Horton will be coming and preaching a word for us. So again, come out, invite your family and friends to support our women. Amen? Amen. Please do not forget, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. And we had a special treat yesterday, okay, because during our Saturday worship service, Minister Richard Overall came and brought us a word. Amen. We have not heard him on Blog Talk on the Saturday worship service in a long, long time, because he's had his own hour every Tuesday at 4 o'clock for a little while now. Amen. So he gave us a nice little short, sweet, to the point yesterday word. And if you didn't listen, please go back and listen. Not to mention, it's been Youth Saturday and Sunday for the last two weekends. And yesterday, we had Jackson, and we had Kennedy, and we had Aubrey. We had the little ones on there reading, doing scripture and prayer, proclamation, and altar call. And it was absolutely wonderful. So if you did not tune into yesterday's sermon and worship service for Saturday, please go back and listen to it. It was absolutely amazing. Amen? Amen. Also, don't forget, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we hold our Bible reading class right here on Blog Talk Radio. This week, the book of Joel is being taught, chapters 1 through 3, being taught by Naomi Carter. So questions are available on our church website, rfcm.org. If you're on pastor's email list, they are emailed out to you as well. So you'll have the questions and be able to participate in class on Wednesday. Amen. Don't forget, every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family. So tune in to the conversations about our children. Amen. And just like her slogan, her flyers, what they say is, if we do not help our youth today, we will be victims of them tomorrow. Amen. So these last couple weekends have been totally devoted and dedicated to our youth, and they're really awesome. And so we do need to support them, pray for them, and to show them the way. Amen? Amen. So we are so excited for a lot of different reasons. Amen. Okay, so first of all, we're excited to announce that our very own Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon is graduating today from Davenport University at the Grand Rapids location. Amen. Commencement begins at 2 p.m. So if you would like to just run on up to Grand Rapids and support Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, you're more than welcome to do that. You don't need any tickets. Commencement starts at 2 p.m. So if you would like to support her, most definitely 100%. You can do that. We're so proud of her. Also, our very own young man and hometown hero, Darius Freeman will be graduating from Dorsey College on May 8th. I believe his commencement on the flyer says 7 p.m. We are so excited for him and very proud of his accomplishments. So, again, we congratulate him as well as his mother, Keela. Also, we congratulate and give a huge shout-out to our very own Deaconess Danielle Mackey on her walk across the stage of accomplishment on yesterday. We will officially call her doctor, amen, whether she likes it or not, amen. We are so proud of each and every one of our graduates, and we know the best is still yet to come, amen. And so we do know, too, that high school graduation season is coming up for our high school students up here. I know down south in different parts of the United States, kids are already having proms, and some of them get out a little bit earlier than we do up here. But our kids still probably have, at least our seniors probably, another month to go. But again, graduation season is coming up for us up here and for our high school students. And we just want to acknowledge Alex and Nedra, amen, as they will be graduating in the next month or so and be well on their way to continued greatness, amen. And so here in Nedra, going to Wayne State to be a doctor. I can totally see it. She's such a sweet young lady. Alex is super amazing. And they're just awesome kids. And just we love and support our youth at Run for Christ Ministries. And we are extremely proud of each and every one of them. Amen. So we will continue to support them as we should. Amen. So please remember that all of our classes and our services on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. You can get your whole Christian life together, get touched up, convicted, get some areas cleaned up, whatever it is that you need. You can get it all from our church website, rfcm.org, by all of our classes and our services on Blog Talk Radio that we've had, again, that are recorded, archived, as well as free. Amen. And while you're there going on Blog Talk Radio and getting old stuff, share our church website. We've got classes, again, services, jobs, books, resources, and more, all available to you for free. Get that info and make sure to share it with others. Amen. If you would like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, the church website, rfcm.org, is the place to go. Just click on the tithes and offerings tab, and you'll be able to do what you need to do. So when we have a preacher on Sundays, other than Pastor O, who brings the word during our Sunday worship service, we take up a love offering in accordance with 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, which reads, "Don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and that those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." So if you would like to give a love offering to Pastor Jonathan, who preached the word of God to us today, please visit our church website, again, rfcm.org. Mention, hey, this offering is for Pastor Jonathan Tate for a Sunday worship service. Make sure his name is on it, and we will see to it that he receives it accordingly. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus just bless you in advance for sharing with us and for with him. Amen. So prayers for Darius Freeman, Deaconess Nicole Seabrook, again, it was great to hear her yesterday on Saturday Church School. Amen. We're going to continue to keep her listed in prayer. Also, Deaconess Lisa Thornton, Keela Freeman, Nico Gaston, Doris Gaither, and Nakia, all of our caregivers, Elder Joseph Stevens, Alice Perry, Ed Johnson, Bernard Sumner, Reese, Mother Irma, and all the mothers on the move, as we call them, affectionately call them, at Run for Christ Ministries, as well as Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Continue to pray for all the struggling families and children who are in need. Continue to pray for our government and all of our leaders of our country and our communities that have the rule over us. We need to pray for them. Amen. Pray for all those who are bereaved, grieving, and mourning. Continue to please pray for Pastor O and Sister Sheila and Sheila's sister Crystal and their family in the loss of their brother and brother-in-law Dwayne. Also continue to pray for Pastor O and Sister Sheila and their good friend Reverend James O'Rear and his family as his sister Ida Mott passed away and her services will take place on May 4th. Amen. So please keep his family in your prayers. Also, as a bereavement, please pray for the Rogers Cowan family. I know Avetrius had mentioned to me about one of their family members and that she may need to kind of go down there and see what's up. And so Reese did let me know that it was her aunt who passed away. So just please remember to keep the Rogers Cowan family lifted up in your prayers. Amen. Amen. So happy birthday again to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, who celebrated this past month, or who are celebrating today on the very last day. Nedra, amen. You guys heard her this morning. She has the only birthday that I have on my list, even though I know it's probably some other people. They just don't want to say nothing, but it's all right. So, Nedra, happy birthday to you. You celebrated your 18th birthday on the 12th of April. And so, again, happy birthday to you. Congratulations to you. Senior year is here, and you are well on your way. Amen. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today, and it's entitled, How to Trust God in a Season of Waiting. Amen. And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. I trust the Lord God to save me, and I will wait for him to answer my prayer. And this is Micah chapter 7, verse 7. The Bible is clear that you'll go through different seasons in life. One season that God talks about over and over is the season of waiting. But you can trust that while you're waiting, God is working. A season of waiting doesn't mean that God has stopped working. In fact, he's taking you through that season because he's using the time to work in your circumstances for your good. The truth is, you're going to spend much of your life waiting. And so, if you don't figure out how to trust God while you're waiting, you'll spend a lot of your life not trusting God. God is never in a hurry. I think we all know that. He's eternal. And as he's working, he wants you to learn how to trust in him as you're waiting. You might be asking, when, Lord? When is it going to happen? When is it going to be over? When am I going to get through this? And God is saying something like, you can trust me with this. It's human nature to say, don't wait. Get things done as quickly as you can. Get what you need as quickly as you can. It's how many of our cultures are wired. But it goes against God's blessing in your life, because God's blessing comes through the times of waiting. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, God has set the right time for everything. Are you in a time of waiting? Maybe it's for school to end. Maybe it's for the right person to come into your life. Maybe it's for a marriage to happen, a baby to come, or a new job opportunity to arrive, and you're frustrated with how slowly things are happening. We have all been there. There's a promise in the Bible that not only tells you God is working, but also how God is working. You need to claim it while you're in your time of waiting. I am the Lord, and when it is time, I will make these things happen quickly. And that's Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. That's how God worked when he sent Jesus into the world. The world waited thousands of years for him to come the first time, and then he came at just the right moment. We've been waiting 2,000 years now for Jesus to come again. And when will that happen? At just the right time, which is God's time. That's when he's going to return. You can apply the same truth to your time of waiting. Remember that a delay is not a denial. When you think God is saying no, he may just be saying, not yet. So will you keep trusting me through this? Again, Micah chapter 7, verse 7 says, I trust the Lord God to save me, and I will wait for him to answer my prayers. That is the kind of faith that God blesses. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
Okay, there we go again. Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Tell me,
I'm like, he's there. I sure
me,
will.
Right, exactly. I'm over here talking and nothing's coming out. And then I hear a voice from the basement say, your mic's not open. And then there you go.
There he goes, no matter where. We got it. Amen.
Okay, Crystal, thank you so much.
You're
Tell
welcome.
Me I say what's up. And thanks
I
for
sure
the altar call.
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. I have just a few announcements on something coming up new, just one announcement, really. I have the names of the teachers who have agreed to teach in a new class that's really going to begin in June. I thought it would be July, but it's going to be June because of the way the sessions are set up. So anyway, we're going to start a new class June 5th on Monday night. It will only be on Monday night until July 3rd. After that, it will just be Wednesday night. Now, of course, that begins July 5th, okay? But up until July the 3rd, on each Monday night, so that we can get caught up, because the quarter going to start in June, we're going to have a class, the new class, okay, because the Bible reading class will end on, I believe, the 7th, the first Wednesday in July, I believe it's the 7th, I don't know. But anyway, the 9th, I believe it is. Anyway, Bible reading class will finally come to an end, and so we're going to be starting a new class, as we talked about. And those of you who responded to the email, because I asked you to respond to the email, because we wouldn't be in person this Sunday, because I got to get the order in so that you get your books on time. Those of you who responded by email, you will get your books in the month of May. Okay, those of you who did not respond, those of you who are going to attend the class, that's a different book for you. The teachers will get their books first. Then those who attend the class will get their books. Nobody has to pay for the book. The church will purchase the books. All you need to do is email, reply to the email I sent out, and you can be put on the list to get your book. Like I say, 8 teachers responded, and they will have their books ready to go when the class starts. And those, we had several students who responded who are going to attend the class, and they'll get their books as well during the month of May, so they can be ready when June comes. Okay, so that's pretty much all I got. But I want to thank those teachers who did respond and let you know that your books are on the way. And for those who do intend to attend the class, if you want to attend the class without the books, that'll be no problem. The scriptures will be read. You'll be able to follow along in your Bible. But it works a lot better if you have the book. Okay, so God bless you. God keep you. And I'm going through my email so I don't have to get on Facebook and look for people, Twitter and look for people, LinkedIn, Instagram. I have 3 Facebook pages, so I can't do all of that. So I'm hooking it to my email address. You got to respond to my email address. If you don't respond, telling me you're not going to participate. And that's okay, because God got something else for you to do. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Until we all meet again, in the name of Jesus, I say amen. And don't forget to keep Minister Janice Tate in your prayers, as she is away out of town on the conference and on her way back. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you when we see you.
Have our second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in the light every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength. Lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud, I sing it all day. Oh,
day, some things don't go your way. But to be without is not his will. This cattle on a thousand hills, and they're all yours to claim. To claim them in his holy name. You don't have to beg or crawl, no. He can see you standing proud and tall. He'll give us everlasting love. Just come to him as you are. I want to thank you, God, for giving me one more chance to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I'm singing out loud, hey, I sing it all day. This song is my prayer I give to only you. I know it can't compare to the gift from you. Gave me your love, you gave me your son, now I say it.